Well, hello again, and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Wash and Word, which is a hand car washing business. We are located in Churchill on Highway 11 in the Powell Shopping Center. And there you could listen to this and other messages each and every day. They are put out on 107.1 FM. And they transmit at about 150 feet radius of the Wash and Word building. And we encourage you to come by and get your car washed. And there you can listen to this message and others each and every day. Also, if you would like to go back and listen to some that have been pre-recorded, you can do that at washandword.com. Click on the media tab and all of our messages are posted and archive there. That's washandword.com. Wash, the letter N, and then word.com. So we're going to, as always, and this being a verse-by-verse Bible ministry, pick up where we left off and continue in our verse-by-verse teaching. We are currently in the book of John. We are finishing up chapter 1, and we're at the point now where John the Baptist has kind of ushered his followers towards Jesus, that they should be following him now. And Jesus is now beginning to call the disciples that he would have close to him. And so as a quick recap of where we left off yesterday, this pretty much dates several messages. But to tie it all together, and remember, it's you're always encouraged to go back and listen to the last few messages before you listen to this one, because it always helps to kind of get back into swing of where we left off. And so what we have here is several points that we made over the last few messages. And one of them was that we must travel in the correct direction to successfully reach our destination. Now, that doesn't sound like a profound statement. We must travel in the correct direction to successfully reach our destination. But what we correlated there was that it's important to be on the road to righteousness, to attain righteousness. That is, we must be pursuing holiness to attain holiness. We have to be doing the things that we're trying to get towards if we ever intend on achieving those goals. And then what we talked about, in terms of this destination, you know, this place where we are now in our walk and this place where God desires us to be or where we desire ourselves to be. And then we said that in between what you seek and what you find is the all-encompassing journey. And we talked extensively about how the first words Jesus spoke, recorded here in the Gospel of John, were, "What do you want?" And we follow that up with the last words that were recorded, and that was Jesus on the cross when he said, "It is finished," or "It is done." And in between Jesus asking the question, "What do you want?" and him saying, "It is finished," we realize that everything in between has already been accomplished. That is, in Christ, everything we seek, everything we're looking for, it is done already. And then we just have to align ourselves to receive that which Christ has already done. And then we ended last message with the point that said, fulfillment of a search should lead to the proclamation of the discovery. And that's just a fancy way of saying that when you discover something about God, or God reveals something to you, or you reach or attain a new level of holiness, or whatever the case may be, that we have to proclaim that discovery. And that is where we're going to pick it up today. And we're going to look in verses. We're going to start in verse 40 and read a couple of verses there. So let us begin. Chapter 1 of the book, Gospel of John, verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. So, back to today's focus point, and that is, the fulfillment of a search should lead to the proclamation of a discovery. Now, if you were to do a study on the disciples, and maybe you've done one before, I know I've done several and heard I've heard different messages about the different disciples, and it's never a waste of time to do a study on the disciples. There's always things about them that we can discover about ourselves. But I'm sure that if you were to do a study on the disciples, Peter, most of the time, ends up garnishing the most attention and usually draws the my favorite disciple card. And while you can certainly find great stories about the disciples and how their lives kind of can relate to your life, in Peter, it seems that we would, many of us seem to emulate Peter in a lot of ways. And so that's why he usually draws the favorite disciple card. But I'd like to take a second here and spend a little bit of time just throwing some props to our brother Andrew. Andrew was a disciple of Jesus, much like Peter, but he had some qualities and some traits that don't really get they don't get recognized that much in the scripture. And so by looking a little bit into his life, we can attach a few things to Andrew that we could probably either see them in ourselves or at the very least wish that we could see those qualities in ourselves. And here's what I'm talking about. See, Andrew was already a devout follower. You know, he's already been following John the Baptist. So he was, you got to have followers if you're any kind of a leader. Without followers, a leader without followers is really just out for a walk. And so he was already a devout follower. We also see in Andrew that he demonstrated obedience by following Christ at the behest of John the Baptist. You know, he didn't argue. He didn't, he was obedient to the one he was following at that time, John the Baptist. And as a result, you know, that led to greater discoveries and greater, greater blessings in Andrew's life. So he was a devout follower. He was an obedient follower. And we also see that he is a natural evangelist. We see it here in other places where, you know, he immediately wanted to share what he had found in Christ with somebody else, either his brother or other people, friends. And wrapped up in all of that, we see also a character of compassion, which is very closely related to being an evangelist. So he's a devout follower. He's an obedient servant. He is a compassionate evangelist. What else can we see about Andrew? Well, he exhibited faith. He exhibited faith because he simply accepted Christ. Even before any of the miracles that Jesus did, he accepted Jesus as Messiah. Furthermore, he demonstrated extreme humility. And this is really where I want to touch on when we talk about Andrew in these few verses that we read. Think about the humility he had to exhibit here. Because how easy would it have been for Andrew to get a little upset or just maybe bemoan the fact that he wasn't immediately recognized and singled out by Jesus, at least not in the way that Peter was. I mean, Peter got introduced and Jesus looked at him and immediately said, you know, you are Simon and, you know, you are. And then later, you know, he also singles Peter out and talks about, his faith and how the church will be built upon his statement of faith and things like that. But not Andrew. He wasn't singled out. You know, I know I would have, and Andrew certainly could have easily been of the mind where he could have said something along the lines of, you know what, here I am. I'm following John, giving my life to following him. And now I'm following Christ at the behest of John. And I'm bringing people introduce to Jesus, and here it is. It's Peter that draws the special attention from Christ, and so he didn't do any of that. In fact, he was just a great disciple to emulate. And so I'm going to just kind of call that my little shout out to Andrew. And folks, again, he's a great role model for us to emulate. Now, getting back to our focus point of this sermon, And that is that the fulfillment of a search should lead to the proclamation of the discovery. Think about Christopher Columbus. When he set out to discover America, which he didn't realize what he was discovering at the time, but when he found it, you know, I'm sure his first words are, "I discovered America," or "I discovered a new land." When you discover something, there's a proclamation that takes place. You know, I discovered this, I found this, you know, I invented this. And so let me ask you a question. What was the first thing you did when you met Jesus for the first time? I know I'm mostly speaking to those of you who had road to Damascus type conversions, where maybe you were a child of the world and found Christ at a defining moment and your whole life turned around. This question doesn't really apply to those of you who grew up in a Christian home and, you know, maybe went to Christian school and kind of had Jesus your whole life. You didn't have that one defining moment. But for those of us that did, I've got a question. What did you do the first time you discovered Jesus? If you're like me, and like most people, you probably immediately went out and told others. And why wouldn't you? You wanted to share your discovery and proclaim it to others. Now, let me ask you a follow-up question on that. How did that work out for you? Because I know if it's anything like my experience, I ended up losing friends. And I probably did more damage to the name of God than good. I alienated loved ones. And why? Why did this happen? Well, the Bible has an answer for us. In Proverbs 19:2, the word says, "It is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way." Also in Romans 10, verse 2, it says, "I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based upon knowledge." You see, this the proclamation of a discovery and the zeal that you might have for Christ. And while the change that you felt was real and, you know, you experienced something you wanted others to, there's no denying that. But the simple truth is your power and your strength to be an effective, knowledgeable witness, well, it just wasn't there yet. And again, it's not a bad thing. I'm not criticizing. It's just a statement of fact. Now, getting back to Andrew, we see another great trait here. And in Andrew, we see great wisdom and great knowledge. And while you and I are called to be witnesses for Christ, and even the word Christian means little Christ, like it or not, we are telling others about Jesus just based on the lives that we live and the things that we say. But here's what I want to talk about. Andrew showing great wisdom, because what he did is he brought Peter to Jesus. And again, not to take away from the value of your personal witness, you know, by telling people what Jesus has done for you, the potential problem with this route is that the focus is, at least in part, upon you. It's looking at you. And again, while your personal changes because of Christ are valuable, they pale in comparison with introducing somebody to Jesus directly. This is what Andrew did. I mean, listen, if we had the option to say, "Hey, look at the new me," or "Hey, look at Jesus," well, of course, we would choose Jesus every time. "Come and see," Peter or Andrew said. And so what has he done for us really doesn't matter. We want to say, "Come and see the Lord." What have I given up doesn't matter. Come and see for yourself. What do I have to do or what have I done doesn't matter. Come and see. Come, taste and see for yourself. Even the woman at the well, after meeting Jesus, simply said, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Christ?" And so we're running out of time, so I'm going to close with this. The destination is important. The road we travel and the direction we travel is important. The journey there is important. And sharing what we discovered is also important. But here's the real important part. And that is Jesus changes your nature. And that is so important that we're going to spend the next message tomorrow talking about the nature that Jesus changes. Till then, we hope you tune back right here at this radio station at 8:30 a.m. to hear another message of verse-by-verse Bible teaching. And we hope to see you over at the car wash in the Palace Shopping Center in Churchill on Highway 11. Till tomorrow, have a blessed day, and thanks for tuning in.